Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis hosting another segment of Wise Women on the Progressive Radio Network. Gary Null produced this show for us to understand a little deeper cut into what we can share with others to make their lives more effective, more empowering, and authentic in their journey. And today I have a wonderful guest that I've known for some time. I met her originally when we were producing a new series in Sedona called The Rocks. And she is a very diverse and interesting woman, special person to always spend time with. And she is an Arizona native, started singing and dancing at the age of 4, like I did, and working as a professional actress and model in her teens. She lived in New York City for years, like I did, but she settled in Sedona to raise her daughter and care for her aging parents until they passed away. And in so doing, that also directed her attention into the modalities of healing and understanding how to take better care of our bodies, which we'll get into a little bit further. She grew up with a sickly mother who suffered from many ailments, including Parkinson's disease. And that led her into a journey of health and wellness as part of her spiritual path and her personal transformation, which, you know, of course, Gary Null brings so much of that into everyone's lives by his podcasts daily on Progressive Radio Network. So after the pandemic, she shut down her entertainment production company. So her life path, much like mine, has been with health and wellness and with the entertainment industry. So she's been very effective with creating entertainment production company that she started with her partner, Nathan Trujillo. I hope I pronounced that right.
Trujillo.
And Linda has left with rediscovering and reinventing herself once again after the pandemic, which so many people have. And recently, she and her partner launched their own podcast called Revolution, which I wish you could see the wonderful thing they did with their logo, which it's hard to kind of describe on an audio, but we'll have that somewhere in print, hopefully, on PRN. And she sponsored an event in Sedona called The Path Forward that hosted the American frontline doctors who shared their information and their research and their data about the pandemic response and treatments that were censored and blocked, and the political industrial complex's collaborations with media and with pharmaceutical companies that thwarted the efforts of doctors, as we well know, who were saving lives with early treatment protocols that, you know, were frowned upon by too many of the powers that present themselves on the media. So one of the things that we will be sharing today is her wonderful interview with Dr. Peter McCullough, who was one of the main presenters at the conference, and Linda was able to interview him for her podcast. And when I heard that podcast, I just knew that this was something that I wanted to share with our listeners. And so it is a great pleasure for me to welcome Linda Namita and have her as one of our guests on Wise Women on today's show. Linda, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really my honor.
Well, when I heard your podcast and the way that, now I had my own television talk show in LA, I think you know that, for about 11 years, but the way that you brought your guest into that interview, that podcast, was so full of heart, and you expressed yourself in such a genuine, authentic, emotional way with the issues at hand. And, you know, sometimes those of us in the entertainment industry, you know, you're an actress and you're, you know, somehow they put that inauthentic spin on those of us who are actors. And for me, because I also teach acting, you were actually in one of my classes. You were wonderful, as
Thank
usual.
You. It was such a good time. Yes. Such a good time. You're a great teacher.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's a privilege, you know. And I feel that those of us that find ourselves in that blended pathway of entertainment and health and well-being are really critical right now to utilize the skills and talents that we have to continue to move into the mainstream, whatever small or large venues that we have. And I know Gary on Progressive Radio Network has millions of listeners. And it's so critically important for each one of us to take a stand and present who we are with the facts as we are accumulating them, knowing full well that many of our contemporaries, many of our peer group do not agree with us, and to find that pathway in such a, you know, a powerful and gentle way to bring people into an awareness that they don't seem to be able to embrace yet. What is your comment on that?
Well, one of the advantages to being an actress or anybody who's in the performing arts is we're comfortable speaking in front of people. We're comfortable in front of a microphone or on a stage. And we have that ability to tell stories. Mm-hmm. In that gift of being able to tell stories, we can also tell the truth in ways that people can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we do. And the thing that is, for me, the reason why it was so emotional and it was very authentic for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say in the intro of the podcast how when Nathan and I left the space that we did the interview, we were so overwhelmed emotionally because we truly felt like we had been in the presence of greatness.
Mm.
And the presence of greatness is an experience that has nothing to do with someone's verbal ability or their control or their sense of language or performance ability. It's really about who they are in their presence, in their energetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it was so emotional for me is because we had spent the weekend listening to all these doctors,
of course,
share passionately what they'd been experiencing, because this conference was for healthcare workers, people in the field of taking care of people who are ill.
Yes.
And and pretty much anybody who knows what's going on in our country specifically, I mean, we spend trillions of dollars every year on healthcare and we're the sickest country in the world.
Isn't that something?
We have the highest rates of chronic disease of anywhere in the world in the history of recorded mankind. And yet we have more people with mental health issues and more people on pharmaceuticals.
Oh God, yeah.
Than ever before. And the problems are only increasing. And so in looking at that and knowing those things, because I'm a podcast junkie, when it comes to health and wellness,
mm-hmm.
and the science of medicine is constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. And unfortunately, mainstream is usually about 10 years behind where the actual research and evidence is. And that being said, it was so emotional speaking with, and I take the liberty of calling him Peter because I deeply love the man. I mean, as a human being, for his conviction and his strength and his ability.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not an actor, mm-hmm. but he says in the podcast, he's probably the most confident person he knows.
I loved that part.
And to be able to say that with such confidence, it was not at all arrogant and it certainly was not at all narcissistic. He's just a man who is very well versed and knowledgeable in what he does. He's an expert. And he's done probably thousands of podcasts and interviews at this point. You can look at any of them. And the sense of conviction that he has nothing to do with just belief.
Right.
He's like, go ahead and challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
These are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laying nothing but facts out for you. So you can call this misinformation or disinformation if you choose, but it's not, it's fact.
Yes.
That was what was so powerful about the conference itself, was that these doctors were so passionate because they really take their Hippocratic oath of do no harm to heart. And they like you and I and others who are in the field that we're in of awareness, sometimes we feel very alone.
Yes.
Or we're branded as crazy.
Yes.
Or, you know, we're heavily judged and put into, we're compartmentalized. And it's unfortunate that we do that to each other in society, but that's what the powers that be want us to do.
Correct.
As long as there's fighting amongst the villagers, then the local, you know, mayor, governor, whoever, the king, now they're distracted with their little fight. I'm going to go implement my power over here and make these things happen. And they're not even going to know. Mm-hmm. And so unfortunately people fall into that. And the passion in which that Dr. Peter McCullough, where he's at is, to me, superhuman and so inspiring, to a level that the overwhelm of emotion was the kind that changes your life. It affected me so deeply to be there that weekend. I knew that I have to be part of the movement because the thing that so many of us share is a love for humanity, literally for humankind, for life on the planet. And there's a lot of energy out there that doesn't seem to really care about human life. It's more like human life is there to serve them. Mm-hmm. It's like in the Matrix, we really are in this time where we're sort of plugged in.
Mm.
It's metaphor, but we're plugged into this system and there are entities that literally feed off of us.
Yes.
Off of our energetic field, off of our brain waves and what we think, our emotional body. And some people, and I mean, it's Sedona. So people will be like, oh, that's just so woo woo.
Right. Yeah. I know.
You're one of those Sedona.
I know.
And it's like, yeah, but it don't mean I'm crazy.
That's right.
It don't mean I'm crazy. It might sound a little woo woo, but you can translate that into any religion and talk about which I mentioned in the podcast about Armageddon and the apocalypse and how we really are in an absolute time of what did he say? He said a spiritual battle.
Oh, definitely.
We are in a spiritual battle and people are waking up and we're in a great time of controversy because the paradigm is shifting.
It is. Even though it doesn't seem like it. You know, unfortunately, the opposition to our point of view has been in power and has had so much money and so much ability to organize so effectively and do their nefarious plan to put it into place and into action while we were unaware.
Well, they've been orchestrating it. I mean, the when you do enough research on an individual basis, and that's the thing, it's like, I listened to the podcast, I went to the Path Forward conference, I sponsored it, but I also, if they give me a link, they give me a paper from, you know, the BMJ or JAMA or whatever, I'll go and actually read the paper. I'll actually go to the CDC website and search and find where it is they themselves said ABC, but then the news completely contradicted, said, oh, the CDC said that. Well, no, they didn't. Mm-hmm. Or they'll go quietly change one of the rules or one of the verbiage on something. Mm-hmm. And they don't announce it to anybody. Mm-hmm. But most people don't have the time for that.
They don't. And they don't know how and where. I mean, I know Gary Null is very frustrated. He feels that people are not stepping up at the level that is necessary right now. And, you know, these things are difficult to navigate because, you know, that system is so in place.
It's dumbed us down.
It has
dumbed us down. Yeah. And also with social media and all the blessings of it and how information is shared, it also dumbs us down in the sense that we've become so desensitized.
Correct. And what was really frightening is I did catch Tucker Carlson's interview with Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how actually the opposition, I hate to put a label of Democrats or whatever, because it's way beyond Democrat and Republican.
Certainly,
it's,
certainly.
You know, way beyond that. But Elon said that what they have, you know, they talked about AI. And that interview was, I was so happy I caught it just by chance, that interview. Mm-hmm. But I always feel guided. I mean, I really feel moment to moment that I am put in the right place to be able to, I hope that I am serving at the level that I'm capable of. And what they talked about was that Elon Musk said AI, and Gary talks about this all the time, the danger of AI right now is profound. And he indicated in that interview that the Democrats.
Oh, God, I've never heard that said.
Democrats. Okay, that's really what they are. The Democrats have taken AI and utilized it to put lies out there in such a powerful way that part of what you had just mentioned earlier. And so, you know, the people that buy into that, what can we do? You know, we know, and so many of the people that I love and they're my family and friends who I consider family, you know, are some of them just refuse to engage in any of this at all because they want to keep their consciousness on a spiritual higher level, what they consider. And a lot of them are just, it's too overwhelming for them to actually engage in the facts like you do, like I do. And so, you know, we're left in this dilemma.
It is definitely overwhelming. I mean, I have moments. I mean, I'm totally, you know, flawed. I'm human. And
you are?
Yeah. And I have. Well, thank you. I'd like to think I'm superhuman.
We're moving there.
Right?
We are. We're on our way.
I'm working on it. But I it is overwhelming because there's something to be said for when you basically get like an information download. It is a challenge to your very identity and existence. And I think the reason why I've been able to, I guess, process the information and not give in to depression when it hits, because it does hit.
Oh,
and the depression isn't the standard of, because depression is basically anger turned inwards, right? Like I've had depression like over my marriage and the failure of my marriage, because I look it back and I go, oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't strong enough and I didn't have boundaries. I didn't love myself enough. And I beat up on myself because I think, okay, you know, I have to take responsibility for co-creating what I did and the pain that it caused me. And then if you have any kind of a conscience whatsoever, when you take responsibility for something, it hits you really hard. Mm. Wow, I did that. I did that to myself. I did that. And that can be really, really hard for people. So processing the level of and the type of information that's available to us out there, the way I liken it to when you look at computers, like right now, what phones can do and what they can put information in the operation systems in a tiny little microchip, right? A little tiny microchip and what it can do. Is so overwhelming. But when you look back at a dial-up phone or the original TV or the very first computer that was the size of a building and ran so slow,
right?
Our brains are very similar. Our brain is like an iPhone, if you will, or like a phone. And some people are still on dial-up.
Yes.
Some people have the latest technology and they can work it and they can download this app and that app. But we're, you know, we're made, all of us have a certain hardware that all of us that are alive at this time have come into the world with a certain program.
Yes.
That's capable of so much. Now, depending on what kind of operating system we have, we can upgrade that system. Some of the kids coming in today, I mean, they're like born able to
oh my God.
program stuff into a phone and you're like, oh my God, this kid is like 18 months old and he knows how to use the iPhone better than I do. You know,
could you teach me how to do that?
How do they do that? But, you know, we're evolving quickly as a species, on many levels, but some of us are literally don't have the hardware. We don't have the operating system to handle the amount and the type of information that's coming to us. And so I believe, and it's just my perspective, and I'm humbled that you're even asking me, because it's always what I ask people, you know, what do we do? How do we help this process along? How do we help those that we love, who think that we're misguided, but we're looking at them like they're misguided? And I realize that there's a level of surrender. There's a very difficult challenge. I mean, I always joke around, I'm the biggest codependent on the planet. I just want everybody to be happy.
I know, that's me too.
I'll do whatever I need to do, to make others happy. Oh. And can't we all just get along?
Exactly.
But at the same time, part of my own healing process, truly as a codependent, is like the serenity prayer of, you know, knowing give me the strength, you know, help me to accept the things that I cannot change, have the courage to change the things that I can,
right,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
And that means a surrender. It doesn't mean you give up, but when you identify with that there's a higher power, that there's something outside of us that's this loving intelligence that we're all connected to, and that ultimately when you take away our body, which is just a spacesuit anyway, it's just the light bulb that houses the electricity, and the electricity, yes, or the spirit, the soul that inhabits this earthly spacesuit, is an energy that doesn't die.
Right.
It's just we're inhabiting this body for this experience. If you really identify that way, then the surrender is easier, because you know that even if somebody you love goes off to war, or somebody you love is going to die from a disease, or you've lost somebody suddenly through a car accident or unexpected death, they're not really gone. It's just that their skin suit.
Yeah.
Stopped working, and their spirit could no longer inhabit it. The light bulb broke and the electricity couldn't go into the light bulb anymore.
Right.
And that is the only thing that brings me personally any comfort, is knowing that, because like at first when I found out about side effects and things that were happening from the vaccine that were just as severe as COVID side effects themselves, and all of my family and friends, and how it's fragmented our relationships and separated us in ways. And when I found out like that, that one of my nieces was like, she said she had the vaccine. She got sick with COVID, and then they were going to take a trip, and she's like, oh, I think I'll go get a booster before my trip. And just the pain inside of knowing that it's not my place to say anything to her. She's a grown woman. It's her life. It's her choice.
I know.
But knowing what I know and my desire to beg her.
I know.
You just got over it. You have natural immunity. Please read. Please look at the information that I have. Please don't get another booster.
Right.
I love you so much.
I know.
And I don't, you know, it makes me emotional thinking about it.
I know.
And
I know.
And she won't. She can't. She's where she's at. And she can't relate to where I'm at, because she has her own belief system and her mindset. And I respect that, but it's incredibly painful. It's being a mother. It's like when you see your child making about to like, you know,
drink poison
or burn their hand or cut themselves or something of that nature, and your automatic reaction is you flinch and you want to step in and grab them and stop them. And there was something that helped me with like that whole concept, was people say, well, why is God punishing me? Well, if God is the parent, and God says, you know, I'm just using this as a little analogy, don't put your hand in the fire because the fire is hot, you'll get burned. And you put your hand in the fire anyway and you get burned, it's not God that's punishing you for putting your hand in the fire. You did that. That's just the consequence. So I feel like there's levels of life where there's natural consequences for the actions that we take, the choices that we make, but we don't learn until we get burned.
I understand.
And there's a surrender to that because collectively, as a consciousness on the planet, we learn from each other's mistakes and we help each other through those experiences. I'm one of those people who will look at other people who've got their hands burned and I'm like, oh, I'm not putting my hand in the fire. I saw what happened to that person.
Right.
That's a good lesson. Other people are like, well, I need to learn for myself. I don't think that's true.
Yes.
But you're looking at the person with the burned hand. No, I don't believe that. I'm going to put my hand in the fire myself. I need to find out for myself. And oh, yeah, well, yeah. Oh, shit, that hurt.
Yes.
That really does burn. Mm-hmm. And you have to just let them do it. Mm-hmm. I think that the greatest way to help people is just lead by example.
Yes. And that's not an easy path to take because, you know, it takes a lot of courage for those of us that have to balance that concept that you've just expressed. And, you know, it's not easy to feel like people judge you who you care about. It's just not something that is comfortable to, you know, and yet that urge, I mean, you know, I reach out to certain friends and family, and some of them I really have just stopped trying because the backlash is just not good for either of us. So, you know, that is always something that is a challenge when anything comes into my consciousness that I feel is important for them. And I see you with your tears welling up in your own eyes. And, you know, if people could understand how difficult it is. And, you know, it's like, again, it's whatever, you know, the consciousness is like a computer, and whatever gets put into that is the way that we relate to the life we live. And, you know, a lot of, you know, I have some of my people who were indoctrinated to the max through their educational system. And so what can I do? I know that was what was pushed into their beautiful consciousness, the beautifulness of who they were. And I feel like, oh my God, they were damaged. And there's nothing I can do about it. That isn't their fault. If they were programmed a different way, they would be in a different mindset. But no, they weren't. And so what can we do?
You know, the thing is that we're all programmed to some degree. We all come in with it. I think a big part of it comes down to self-love. Because when people, and even explaining what is that self-love? Like, what does that even mean? It's that surrender into understanding that there's so much more than what we're seeing. It's like the Matrix, the movie. It's a program that's running. It's an illusion. Mm-hmm. There's a whole real existence outside of this three-dimensional world that we perceive as reality.
Correct.
And it's not until somebody's program gets like
an interruption, a
virus.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like, well, these programs aren't running. Like there's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. When people recognize that their programs are not running right, or there's a glitch in the matrix, is usually when something happens that wakes them up into a different kind of awareness of, wait a minute, this program, this way that I'm thinking doesn't really work. I mean, I'm losing friends, or I'm hearing these other stories that contradict this thing that I believe. Mm-hmm. But that term cognitive dissonance is so, so important right now, because I think we end up with intellectual ego, spiritual ego,
oh, yeah,
that turns into intellectual narcissism and spiritual narcissism. Mm-hmm. where we think we know everything, we're always right. And if we're not willing to be wrong, if we're not willing to take an inventory of who we are, if we're not willing to look at ourselves, if we're not willing to maybe put in some antivirus into the computer and let it do its job, then we're lost. So
and don't know it.
And yes.
Don't know it.
Yes. And for those.
And with some people who are extremely powerful, very competent, very accomplished, you know, those people are just as prone to what you described.
Vulnerable.
Because they are so powerful. There's no opening for anybody to interject. Here, let's do a check-in. Let's check a little bit where you really are at. Is it possible that you have gone into a level that doesn't allow you to see a perspective of possibility that isn't present in your current awareness?
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the questions that I asked Dr. McCullough. Yeah. I said, what made you willing to do this? Mm-hmm. And he said that he was bold and relentless, and he realized because he was an expert in his field, and when people were looking to him for answers, including the White House, and he did his research, he saw what was happening to his patients and how that things were being controlled. He was so powerful when he said, "Not on my watch. This is not." I was enraged, mm-hmm. and that you know, he's like, the virus was slaughtering my people, and he was outraged by that, and he said his rage just grew and grew. You know, there is a place where anger can serve us, and it's what we do with those emotions and how we channel them that makes all the difference. And we mm-hmm. see people channeling their emotions into actions that are very destructive. Mm-hmm. And that's where people lack that self-reflection. They lack the self-love. Because loving yourself doesn't mean I'm right about everything and I am an expert in my field, and therefore it is, I'm vulnerable, I'm human, I'm flawed, I will flail, mm-hmm. and I'm also a child of God, whatever you think God is. We're all products of this divinity. Mm-hmm.
And we're humbled by it.
Yes.
I feel that way a lot because, you know, I've been blessed with a lot of what I consider grace from the time I was, you know, just little, you know, really wonderful, powerful world figures have given me so much grace, and I'm humbled by it. And the spiritual experiences I've had that have been profound. And I recognize the grace I've been given, and I'm humbled by it. And in fact, I had a spiritual transmission in 1986, and for 6 hours, and because I was doing some really heavy meditation. That's another whole story. But the theme of that 6 hour transmission was loving yourself. I was doing a mirror meditation, and I'd been in the process of this transmission for probably 2 or 3 hours, and you know, it was in doing a mirror. Well, I've been looking at myself for 3 hours or however long it's been. And then they said to me, "Now look at yourself. Look at what you created. Look how pretty you are. Look at your art. Look at your," they pointed out different things about what they was in. And I was laughing. I'm going, "Oh, I've been in the mirror, but I haven't been looking at myself."
Who would you, for people who are listening to this, I think that they would say, who do you mean by they?
It was a presence. I don't know. It wasn't like an audible voice speaking like we're speaking, but it was speaking internally and giving me pointers. But they showed me certain things to do about how to heal. They showed me a tone. They had me do a tone, and it was interesting. It was like, ooh, and I was doing that tone. And all of a sudden, I had been doing it for probably 5 minutes, and I realized I didn't take a breath. Mm. This tone was just coming out of me. It's interesting because I've never shared this on the air or with very few people because, you know, again, they think you're crazy. So, you know, but that profound 6-hour experience of the course changed my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I just feel that those of us that have been on this path, where I'm feeling this urge, this push for us to really be present with who we really are and to step up into that larger perspective. And, you know,
absolutely.
I think it's really why we're here.
I agree. And I feel like people like Peter McCullough, who I really truly adore, it's his passion for what he knows. And I think that's really important for individuals, no matter who they are. You don't have to be the leading cardiologist in your field to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't have to be that person.
Right.
You can be a regular blue collar, working hard.
Yeah.
You know, paycheck to paycheck,
yeah.
Struggling with your own life and just wanting happiness and to be with your spouse and mm-hmm. your children or, you know, make it to that, get that little bit of a boost in your life that it doesn't matter what level of education you have or what mm-hmm. economic bracket you're mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. It's all of us collectively have a purpose.
Yes. And each one of us matters more than we can ever imagine.
Absolutely. The people in power, good, bad, ugly, pretty, indifferent, are the ones that sort of pave the way, I think. They're like the pioneers. And depending on the vibration that you're living your life in, where you're at, mm-hmm. will affect who you follow,
mm-hmm.
who you admire.
Yeah.
Who you follow on TikTok and what kind of information you feed yourself. Mm-hmm. And right now people are one of the reasons why we're so sick physically as a society is because we're so sick spiritually.
That's right.
And they really go hand in hand. And right now there's this, it's all manifesting pretty much on a physical level. Right. The chronic right. disease, et cetera, because we've been fed processed foods. We've been fed all kinds of pollutants in our environment.
Oh, God, I guess
we're
chemtrails and GMO. And
oh, yeah. Even, you know, people, my neighbors still use Roundup.
Yeah.
And it takes everything for me to keep from giving them information that says, please stop using this. You need to boycott this product.
Right.
It is, you have little salt, children.
Vinegar and on soap.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will do the
or
trick.
Maybe just actually go out there and pull some weeds.
I know.
Get your hands dirty,
yeah.
Get in nature. But people, the system is set up to keep us like on that grind. So, you know, I struggle to get my own podcast out. I don't have my social media and stuff set up. Hopefully that's going to happen real soon. Mm-hmm. No, it is going to happen real soon. Mm-hmm. But because I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working to make a living.
Exactly.
So I understand full on what it's like. But it's an individual thing that we're all important, like you said. We're all on this path. But those who are, you know, it's such a word right now, influencers.
Yes.
They're, if you look at anybody who's a health coach, a life coach, a spiritual coach, mm-hmm. They give you it. If you look at all of them or study more than one, you'll see mm-hmm. that there's a common denominators mm-hmm. in all of their methods.
Mm-hmm.
And those common denominators are the things that people haven't quite figured out yet. And it's translating, I think, from the physical and going into the spiritual
mm-hmm.
because what we've been feeding ourselves physically,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it metaphorically or on a different level, what we've been feeding ourselves spiritually,
mm-hmm.
mentally, emotionally, is the same shitty diet that we're all eating.
Yeah.
It's just a whole nother level of that. So once we can conquer this physical world and all the illness that's chronic illness that's with it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to translate into the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel like that's our next step. But we're part of that message. We're part of that. And
we have to have the courage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we look at, you know, the Peter McCulloughs of the world and Gary Null as well, you know, the enormous bravery that they have to find in their heart and soul to, you know, to be a stand for what they know is the truth and is critical for it to be put out there. You know, we have to find that somewhere in us to, you know, to take that stand.
And we have to be willing. It's not that we want to be martyrs.
No, I know.
You know, it's like
Catholic upbringing.
You know, because I had talked with Dr. McCullough about that. I was like, you're like being crucified for being a messenger.
And it's scary. You know, it's like we know how many people that we know have been assassinated. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, well,
career assassination physical assassination.
Career assassination is the same because they've managed to do that.
What people don't realize is that, or maybe they do, but some people don't. When somebody is silenced, whether it's an assassination on their career, and whether they're censored on social media, whether their licenses are stripped away from them, or there's a smear campaign to make them out to be something that they're not, that just makes them stronger.
Well, let us pray that that is always the case.
I mean, look at what happened to Jesus.
Oh, for sure.
2023 years later.
Yeah. A lot.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it's not that, again, like, it's not like nobody really wants to be a martyr, but you have to be willing to take the risk because you understand there's something greater and bigger out there. So you step into that trust and that faith and you surrender to it. And your love for yourself is a reflection of your love for humanity. And then you're willing. That's where the courage comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's divinely inspired, in my opinion.
I agree. Let's listen to part of your wonderful podcast interview with Dr. McCullough. And then I really would like, after we listen to this clip, for you to share with people how they can hear the entire thing. And I think that that's something critically important for people to be able to tune into. You did such a marvelous job. You were just, in my mind, as brilliant as any top interviewer on the world stage. You were just so powerfully authentic and clear about how you presented yourself and you presented, you know, Peter, because it was such a moving podcast for me to listen to. I just had to have you on the show.
God, thank you so much. And I have to say that when we were done, because he never left my gaze. He looked at me like this across the table the entire time. And when you hear the passion for the clip that I'll play about how he was outraged, and you hear it in his voice, it's very dramatic. Mm-hmm. He was in tears as well.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said afterwards, he said, I have done hundreds of podcasts. Mm-hmm. And he said, that was the most emotional conversation I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah. And I really appreciate your comments, because I've listened to it a few times, of course, and I'm always like, oh, I could have said this and I could have said that, but it was so spontaneous.
It was.
And that's what I want. That's what I look for in my podcast, and what I hope to create is really heart to heart conversations.
Right.
And it's so ironic to have heart to heart with a cardiologist.
For sure. Oh, of course. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to that right now.
When COVID-19 hit, though, I saw this, and I saw the reaction of the doctors, and I said, if not me, who? If I can't step out and face this illness, who's going to do it? And I did it. I said, we will find a way to treat patients, and I refuse to let the virus slaughter my patients, slaughter my family. I wasn't going to have it happen, not on my watch. I was going to be bold and relentless. To my shock and to my dismay, none of my colleagues were with me. None of them. They recoiled. They went into the darkness. They went into the shadows. They stopped answering the phone calls. They shut down their clinics, and their patients suffered. Their patients became ill with this virus. They developed fever. They couldn't breathe, the oldest, most vulnerable patient. And the virus slaughtered them. The virus slaughtered a million Americans on their watch. And I was outraged. Day by day, week by week, that went on. My rage grew in strength. And I did everything I could. When the White House called, I answered. When it took efforts to try to do everything we can to bring medicines to patients, I did it. I've published in the best journals despite the headwinds of censorship. And when the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons reached out to me and said, Dr. McCullough, we need to make a home grind. We need to get medicines to patients. We need to teach them what to do. I jumped on it and we did it. And telemedicine services kicked in. And when the U.S. Senate called and said, Dr. McCullough, we want you to be the lead witness and tell America that we can treat this illness, I did it.
The great thing about this interview is we really didn't go into the whole science of everything. We talked more about the spiritual side, more about how it's affected him personally, why Dr. McCullough took on this battle, etc. So this next clip is where we really touched on more of the esoteric part of this experience that we're collectively sharing. How do you suggest, or what do you think is a viable, realistic way for those who are naysayers to somehow touch them from the heart so that they can see and understand?
We're in a magical place, and Sedona is such a place, and the conference was magical. There's no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit is working through people we saw this weekend, the past few days. The Holy Spirit is working through all of them. They are special people. It's a small number of people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Others have scales over their eyes. They're blinded. They're confused. They're uncertain. When the topic comes up, the most common response you hear is, I don't want to talk about it. That is code word for being in what's, for lack of a better term, mass formation or a trance or under a spell. Almost as if there needs to be demons driven out of them. We are in spiritual times. There's no doubt about it. Everyone has spirituality. Their individual religion is the framework in which they interpret their spirituality. Most people are born into their own religions, but I have worked now with Muslims and Hindus, Christians, Jews. People are becoming awake to the understanding we are in a spiritual battle right now. It's all over the world in everyone's mind. I think the first thing for everybody on either side of this, those with eyes to see, those with scales, is to understand we are in a time of a great controversy. Do you know many people actually don't recognize that we're in a time of a crisis or a controversy? They're going about with their jobs and they don't realize it. And you can see this because one of their coworkers will suddenly die for no reason. And there's no outrage. We see this time and time again. When we see a young girl, 17 years old, perfectly healthy, ostensibly healthy, a prominent father who is promoting the vaccines, he told America his kids will take the vaccines. He tweeted this out. He said it publicly. And then she goes out and takes the vaccine. And then he finds her dead in her bed. The look on his face, the blank look in his eyes, the shock, the disbelief, the remorse, the guilt must be extraordinary. And on top of that, it's in his body too. It's in his body. It's in his other daughter's body. It's in his wife's body. Can you imagine the overwhelming sets of emotions that he is trying to process? Who is that person? It's Democratic Congressman Sean Gaston from Illinois. Can you imagine what he is trying to process in his brain right now?
Well, Linda, that was just so moving. And I really urge people to listen to the entire podcast with him because it was so rich moment to moment to be able to hear the entire thing. How can people listen to that, please?
Well, it's interesting because I've noticed on Apple Podcasts, for some reason, I can't seem to play that particular episode.
No way.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because as soon as I put it out there and his name was on, I was so aware that I could be immediately flagged because of how his name is associated with misinformation, et cetera. But you can find it on Spotify, you can find it on Anchor, you can find it on Apple Podcasts. Pretty much you just Google.
And what is that? What will they Google?
They will Google either my name, Linda Damita, D-A-M as in Mary, I, T as in Tom, A, Linda Damita, or r.evolution. So it reads as revolution, but it's our tagline is that our evolution is a revolution of love.
Yes, and your beautiful logo was so brilliantly put together.
Thanks.
I love that. You know, love is right in evolution, so that was great. So how would you want to have your information out there for people to contact you if they wanted to?
Well, they can always respond to on the podcast platform directly. And if they like it, it'd be wonderful to get a review. It's so new and, you know, I'm busy living life, et cetera, and survival like mm-hmm. so many. So we're putting together our website and our social media so that we'll have a better reach. But anybody who's just looking to understand a little bit more about themselves or looking for tools and things for their own transformation, basically the podcast is just interviewing everyday people and great thought leaders that come across our way in Sedona, going into their own journeys of transformation and what tools and things, methods they've used. So to inspire others and maybe give them some direction.
Mm-hmm.
In their own lives.
Exactly what Wise Women is about.
Perfect.
Linda, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. And I could spend hours with you, and perhaps we will do this again. I hope that we will. And with that said, thank you everybody for listening today. And I hope you have a beautiful week ahead and come see us again on Wise Women. Bye-bye, everybody.